This morning, we're going to be beginning our series on the parables of Jesus, and I am really excited to be teaching this to you today. Now, let me explain to you. In my 40 years of preaching, I have never, ever, ever taught on the parables of Jesus. I might have covered a parable here or a parable there, but I've never taught on the parables of Jesus. And Lord willing, we're going to cover almost every single parable that Jesus taught. Might be like one or two we miss, but we're going to be doing our best to kind of look at them. And we're going to be trying to find out what God has to say and what he's trying to say to us through the parables. And as you're going to see this morning, Jesus taught in parables, and that's pretty much mainly what he taught in. Now, to do this study on the parables of Jesus, we have to do an introduction to parables. It's very important that you understand how to study parables, because parables are totally different than other parts of the Bible. Let me just kind of start off by saying this. I'm praying that by the end of this week, you will find the parables of Jesus to be simple, yet absolutely profound. Now, this is important. I need you to stick with me here, because we're going to be digging through some deep water, and you're going to hear some things today that is going to make you go, oh, I don't know if I like that. And you're going to have to stick with me, because if you wait long enough, you're going to see, hopefully the Spirit of God will open your eyes to what he was really doing. And when you do, you'll see the wonderfulness of it. But at first, parables are actually very, very, very simple. But they're also deeply profound, and you need God's help to understand that. Now, parables are not allegories. We've unfortunately tried to look at parables of Jesus and make every little aspect of the parable represent something. You're going to see this week that that's going to mess you up. Because in one parable, leaven is good. In another parable, leaven is bad. So if leaven is always good, or it's not always good or always bad, just listen to the story. The parables are things that Jesus actually, the stories Jesus made up to teach one central point. Now, some parables might have 2 points, but for the most part, it's usually one simple point, central point that Jesus made up a story to teach. And we're going to try to dig into what is the one point he's trying to get to us here. Now, also, as you come to parables, one of the things that will help you is looking at the context. Who was Jesus talking to? What had just happened? What made him decide to tell this story at this moment? All right? Go with me to Luke chapter 15. We'll kind of launch from there. We're not going to break these parables down. I'm just going to start with Luke 15, and we're going to go to verses 1 through 3, just to kind of set the stage at how the context sets the stage for the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. In Luke 15, look at verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him," to Jesus, "near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable." All right, so in the context here, and we'll come back later this week and break these parables down, but in the context, Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders are all like, he's hanging out with sinners. And that set the stage for him to tell the parable or the story about the lost sheep or a lost coin or a lost son. We'll get into all that later on. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to pray for God to give us insight and God to give us wisdom. As you're going to hopefully see by the end of today's message, you will never understand what Jesus is trying to teach without God giving it to you. If you're sitting here today and you want to try to figure this out with your wisdom and your human reasoning, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to walk out of here frustrated. You're going to walk out of here angry. You're going to walk out of here confused. Spiritual truth is only received. I think Jerry was bringing that out in the passage he read to us at the beginning, how it's revealed. But it's only revealed, as you're going to see today, to those who humble themselves and say, "Lord, I want to know, you have to show me." If you think you can figure these things out, if you think you can outsmart God, you're in trouble. So let's pray. Father, as we dive into this beginning today and then some more this afternoon and throughout this week of a study of your teaching, your parables, Lord Jesus, thank you for the fact that your Spirit is still at work. You're still teaching. You're still opening eyes and ears. And Father, we want that. Lord, we thank you for the gift we've been given to not only come and sit at your feet and allow you to teach us, but we get to do it on a big ship with lots of food and fun places to go. And Father, you even rocked us to sleep last night. Thank you so much for that. But Lord, we ask today that you would sincerely give us your insight. Give us your truth. We need it. Help us to really see the simplicity of the parables, yet at the same time, how deeply profound they are. And Lord, if that's going to happen, it's got to come from you. And Lord, I also know full well that if anybody's going to get anything from this time together, it can't be me talking either. And so, Lord, I surrender my years of study and preparation for even these messages, and I humble myself and don't think that I've got it. I know it. I can teach it. Lord, I need you today as well to speak through me, through to these folks. If I want them to hear from you and not from me. Father, may they be impressed with you when they walk out of here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In order to understand the parables, there's three main purposes of God in the parables that I'm going to bring out to you today. All right? The first one is this. The first, number one, purpose of God in him teaching, and Jesus and teaching in parables is to reveal God's truth. Now, that's going to seem crazy in a little bit, but stick with me. He spoke in parables to reveal God's truth. Go to Matthew chapter 13 and look at verses 34 and 35. Matthew 13, verses 34 and 35, it says, "All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was what was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world." So when Jesus talked to the masses, when he talked to the crowds, he spoke in parables. And he did it to fulfill scripture, but he also is doing it to reveal God's truth and to reveal things that hadn't been revealed earlier or hadn't been revealed in the way he wanted until that time. Now, as you can tell there in your Bibles, this passage is quoting from somewhere. He's quoting from Psalm 78. Go back to Psalm 78. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4, and we might even jump all the way to verse 8, or go all the way to verse 8. But look at Psalm 78. Look at verses 1 through 4. This is where the passage is quoting from. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." Keep reading. We'll go for verse 5 to verse 8. "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, that children, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God." So God says here in this passage that he's going to utter parables to reveal God's truth, things that people need to know, but not only that, so that they would continue in being passed on to generation and generation and generation. Do you realize as we here in 2024 sit and study the parables of Jesus, we're fulfilling prophecy? That the parables would be continued to be taught so that other generations, people that not yet born, or at that time that scripture was written, not yet born, would hear and learn? I'm kind of excited about that. When Jesus was teaching and walking on this earth and teaching parables, he had in mind that we would be here so many years later studying the parables. Why? So that he could reveal spiritual truth to us. So that he could reveal God's truth. But let's be honest. If we're going to be just, you know me, I don't want to just play the game. I want it to be real. And so if we're honest, our brains say, well, if he wants to reveal truth, why does he talk in a riddle? If he wants to reveal truth, why does he talk in a parable? Well, that leads to our second purpose for the parables. The first purpose is to reveal God's truth. The second purpose is to distinguish between those who can understand the parable and those who can't. Now you say, Jim, that doesn't help. Well, stick with me. I told you, we're going to trudge through some muddy water here a little bit. But if you stick with me, my prayer is the Spirit of God all of a sudden will unlock to you something today that'll make you go, oh, I get it now. And by the way, if you get to that point, God opened your eyes. It wasn't because you're smart and you figured it out. If all of a sudden it makes sense to you, stop and worship, because that's God. But the Bible's real clear that a second purpose of the parables is to distinguish between those who can understand them and those who can't. Go to Matthew chapter 13 and look at verses 10 through 17. Now I'm about to read a couple of passages to you, passages that are going to make you go, this doesn't seem to say what he's saying. In Matthew 13, starting in verse 10, then the disciples came to Jesus, and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes, don't miss this next part, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So they came to Jesus, and he's in the middle of teaching this parable. We're going to come to that parable at the end of our message today. But they come to him, and they say, why are you talking to everybody in parables? And he says, so that those who can see will see, and those who can't won't. Doesn't that seem to be a little bit crazy? If his purpose is to reveal truth, why would he speak in a way that those can see, and those who can't see, won't see? And then he goes on and even makes this little statement. He said, it's been given to you to understand the things of the kingdom. That's going to be important later on. He said, it's been given to you to understand the secrets of the kingdom. But he then goes on and go back to the passage there in verse 15. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes, don't miss this part, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and I would heal them. In other words, they've decided they don't want it. Now go with me to Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. Look at verses 9 through 11. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I've told preachers over the years, hardly any preacher has ever preached on Isaiah 6, verse 9. You've heard lots of sermons on Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8, where Isaiah is taken into the presence of God. He sees the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe fills the temple. And when he speaks, the threshold shakes. And he says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I've seen God, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And the angel comes and takes tongs from the altar and touches his lips. And then God says, whom will I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Have you ever had a preacher preach on the next verse? They always stop right there. Well, listen to the next verses. This is what Isaiah is told after he says, I'm ready to go be used of you. In Isaiah chapter 6, starting in verse 9. And he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. That's the passage he just quoted from in Matthew chapter 13. That's the passage Jesus was talking about. Now, again, let's be honest. If Jesus' purpose in the parables is to reveal truth, why is he speaking in parables? And if the purpose of the parables, number two, is to distinguish between those who can understand and those who can't, that kind of seems unfair on the surface, doesn't it? seems arbitrary, like God choosing and man has no say. But I'm going to show you that if you're willing to look at the scriptures and seek God for truth, you'll say, I got no problem with you saying, Lord, I don't understand this. This doesn't make sense to me. It makes you look like you choose who you want to save and who you don't. That isn't you. That's obvious not who you are according to the scriptures. But how come it appears that way? What's going on? And as you dig, if you're willing to honestly believe that God will speak and he will reveal truth, he'll all of a sudden show you things that you had never seen before, and I'm going to hope to be used of one. Now, Jesus has just said to his disciples, come to him privately. They say, why do you speak to the crowds in parables? And he says, well, actually, it's to distinguish between those who can see and those who can't, those who can understand and those who can't. It's been given to you to understand the secrets of the kingdom. Now, we would automatically assume that that means that as soon as Jesus spoke, the ones who can understand go, oh, I get it. Go to Luke chapter 8. I want to show you a couple of passages that show that the people whom Jesus just said it's been given to you to understand the secrets of the kingdom, they didn't understand the parables either. Look at Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 11. Luke 8, starting in verse 9 to verse 11. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they're in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. And then he goes on to explain it. But don't miss this. He had just spoken in parables, and even his own disciples didn't know what it meant. They're like, you're going to have to explain that to us. Because as much as they didn't get it, we didn't get it either. I thought it had been given to them to know the secrets of the kingdom. How come they didn't understand it if it had been given to them to know the secrets of the kingdom? Go to Matthew chapter 13. Look at verse 36. This is a different parable Jesus has just told. Parable of the weeds. And in Matthew 13, starting in verse, or just reading one verse, verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. So let me ask you, the disciples who had been given to them to understand the secrets of the kingdom, did they understand the parable?
No.
So what does it mean then when he says, purpose of the parables is distinguished between those who can understand and those who can't? Listen very closely. The difference between those who can understand and those who can't are those who humble themselves enough to say, I don't understand, help me understand. And that's available to everyone. So Jesus spoke in parables so that when he spoke in the parables, he's watching now the reaction. They all heard the same thing. Yet some of them said, I don't like it, and they walk away. Others said, that doesn't make any sense to me, and they walk away. There are others who say, I disagree, and they walk away. But there are some that said, don't understand it, don't even really like it, but we think you have the words of truth. Would you explain it to us? Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? In James chapter 4, verse 6, the scripture says that God opposes who? The proud, but gives grace to who? The humble. Jesus had been teaching his disciples and teaching the masses, and he brought a child in front of them, and he said, unless you become like this little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And by the way, little children know they need help. Little children have no problem with saying, can you tie my shoe for me? I can't. I remember when Nicole was little. I can't do it anymore. She's too big. But she would ask for us to pick her up to see things. But she would always say, I want to hold you. In other words, would you pick me up? What I always hated is when our kids got to that age when they started saying, I'll do it myself. I started to hurt for them because they're now heading down that road that's going to make it hard for them to walk with God. Do you understand? Go to Matthew chapter 11. See, when we hear To them it's been not given, and to you it's been given. We hear that God reveals things to people and intentionally doesn't ever let people hear things. No, no, no. Everybody hears. You're going to see that by the end of the message. Everybody hears the same. But it's those who humble themselves who come to him and say, I need you to give me the full understanding because I still don't get it, but I believe you have the words of eternal life. Those are the ones he reveals truth to. Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Now all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and listen closely, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Well, who does he choose to reveal the Father to according to the scriptures? The humble. The ones who will come and say, Lord, I want to believe. Think about when Jesus was teaching and he gave the story about, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And many of his disciples at that point stopped following. Oh, they had claimed to be followers of Jesus, but they stopped following. They went away and they said, this is a hard teaching. It doesn't make any sense. And they stopped following. Jesus turned to the 12 and they said, you guys are free to go. He said, you're free to go too. Do you guys want to go away as also? Peter spoke up for the crowd and he said, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. By the way, did Peter understand those words? Could Peter have stood up and explained and eat my flesh and drink my blood? No. But this much he did know. I don't understand what you just said either. Kind of turned my stomach too because it sounds sick. But you have the words of eternal life. I'm not going anywhere. I believe, like a little child, that you will tell me. Folks, listen closely. That's why Jesus then says, come unto me, who? All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek and humble and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it's impossible to please God, for whoever comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. He spoke in parables, not just to reveal God's truth, but also to distinguish between those who were willing to humble themselves and say, God, you show me, and those who would hear the same teaching and say, I disagree, don't like it, not how I would do it, and walk away. Oh, and as you're going to see by the end of this message, there's a lot of people that have claimed to be followers of Jesus who are not in the, to you it's been given, the secrets of the kingdom, because they've never fully humbled themselves to surrender their lives to Jesus. As you're going to see by the end of this message, there's a lot of people that have claimed to be followers of Jesus. But when trouble comes, they fall away. When he doesn't do things the way they think he should, they stop believing. There's those who say they're followers of Jesus, but the things of this world, the cares of this world, and money and position and wealth and all that stuff, it actually is more important to them than following Jesus. And they fall away because they never were really saved. The Bible says the only ones who truly respond are those who humble themselves like children and say, you're God. You'll show me your truth, and I'm going to follow you with my whole life. And that's available to everyone. That's available to everyone. Now, go to John chapter 12. I want you to see this. We're going to kind of lay this out a little bit more. And then I'm going to show you something of the third purpose of the parables that's going to shock you. John chapter 12, look at verses 37 through 40. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. Remember how we read earlier? They closed their eyes. So the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed, don't miss this, what he heard from us. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Did they hear? According to the scriptures, yes. They did hear. Was it revealed to them? Yes. But they did not mix it with faith. They did not humble themselves and say, Lord, give me the understanding. They tried to do it in their own wisdom. Therefore, because they saw the miracles and they would not believe, he now flips a switch. And he makes it so they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their own eyes and understand with their own heart and turn, and I would heal them. Did you catch that? Yep. They want to do it on their terms. God says, that's not how I do it. You want to do it on your terms? I'm going to make it so you can't respond. Folks, listen to me very carefully. The Bible warns of us getting a hard heart. A hard heart is when we get really good at tuning out the Holy Spirit. It's possible for a Christian who's going to heaven to get a hard heart and lose reward and go to heaven early. The Bible talks about those who experience a sin unto death, if you will. But it's also possible for an unbeliever who's actually tasting of the heavenly gift but not has never swallowed to actually know the truth but not fully surrender to it. I pray everybody in here, like I said earlier, remember, my prayer is that you would come to realize that the parables are simple, yet extremely profound. The story is just a simple little story, but there's a depth to it, and that depth you'll never get until you just say, Lord, teach me. I'm like a child. That's how I come at the Word of God. I don't think I've got it figured out. But he's promised that he would unlock, he would teach, he would show. And so I live my life believing this book. And when I do, he shows me stuff. It's kind of cool. And some of you might think, oh, Jim, you really have so much. Don't look at me. If you're impressed by how much Bible I can quote, if you're impressed by how much insight I have, it didn't come from me. For years, I've had preachers introduce me when I show up to speak. I've been preaching now for 40 years, and I have had preachers introduce me, and they'll say, Pastor Jim has a photogenic memory, or photographic, whatever. I don't even know what it's called. But I have to get up and say, I don't. How do you quote so much scripture? Because God said he would help us. In John chapter 14, verse 25, he says that the Holy Spirit would bring to your remembrance everything that he's taught you. And I believe him. My job is to read it, study it, treasure it. I don't even memorize. I don't. Now, if you like memorization, great. Enjoy. But let me ask you a real quick question. Would you not agree that some people in this room are better at memorizing than others? If God wanted us to get his word in by memorization, he's just made it unfair. But the Bible says nowhere memorize. It says treasure, study, read, feed, meditate. We all can do that. That's why his gracious will is that his truth is revealed to little children, not to the smartest in the room. I'm looking around. I know some of you, and you, some of you are engineers, and you know how the space shuttle makes it to the moon and all this stuff. And Nicole's husband, Gil, understands stuff that makes my head hurt. He tries to talk to me about it, but I don't understand it. And the more he explains it, the dumber I feel. And the more he dumbs it down, the harder it makes. It's just even, it's more confusing. Let me say this to you. God's gracious will is that his spiritual truth is not going to be revealed to the smartest in the room. But to everyone, and that's available to everybody here, whether you're an engineer or a stoop like me, he's willing to reveal his truth if you'll just humble yourself and I'd say, I need you. There's a joke in my house. The kids have said this for years. They say, if you ask Dad a question and it starts with, do you remember? The answer's always no. I don't remember a lot. My memory is really, really bad. It really is. You say, I don't believe you. Well, then you don't believe spiritual truth. The only reason I'm able to quote scripture like this is because the Spirit of God said he would give it to me, and he does. I just had to put it in. He'll take care of bringing it out. But I'm not kidding you. There are episodes of my life that are gone. Most of them. years ago, I was on a preaching trip, and our kids were grown, but not quite grown, and they're still living with us, and they traveled with us on a preaching trip, and we stopped in Tallahassee at my wife's sister Julie's house, and it just so happened to be their 10th wedding anniversary. And we stayed overnight with them, and they said, we were going to watch the video of our wedding on our anniversary. Do you mind if we pop in the tape? We're like, sure, that'd be kind of fun. So they popped in the VHS tape. And all of a sudden, Nicole and Elise, my two daughters, start walking down the aisle as flower girls. And I'm like, girls, you were flower girls in your Aunt Julie's wedding? And they're like, yeah, Dad, you don't remember that? I'm like, no, I don't remember that at all. It's only been 10 years. Then the camera turns, and it's facing the stage. And there I am on the stage performing their wedding. And I said, I performed your wedding? I didn't remember. But you know what? His word is true. And it's powerful. And if you'll humble yourself and believe what he says, he does stuff that doesn't make sense. Now, there's a third purpose of parables. You got to stick with me here. You got to let God help you see this one. The third purpose of parables is to show mercy to the ones who don't understand. You know, the Bible actually says that we'll all be held accountable for how much God has revealed to us, and we'll be judged on the last day according to all that has been revealed. That's why just before that section in Matthew 11 that I read to you, where Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. He had just before that pronounced judgment on Capernaum. Because they had had so many miracles done in their midst. He said if the miracles done in Capernaum were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. And so it's going to be harder on the day of judgment for Capernaum than it will be for Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? God holds us accountable for everything he shows to us. And there are those out there in the world who don't want to believe. They're going to receive truth. He's going to reveal things to them. But they're going to reject it. And God, by speaking in parables, is going to be showing at the same time mercy to the ones who reject it. Because he's now making it so they can't understand unless they humble themselves, right? So he's made it so that they won't understand it, and therefore, on the day of judgment, they'll be held less accountable. Oh, they're still going to be judged. They're still going to suffer in eternity. But there's a level of reward in heaven. There's levels of reward in heaven. There's levels of punishment in hell. The Bible talks about it. You can't go a whole lot further than that. The Bible doesn't give us any more, but the Bible's very, very clear. You can double check me later on. Luke chapter 12, verses 47 and 48 talks about that. To whom been given much, much will be required. Some will be beaten with few beating, and others be beaten with many beatings. Listen, there's levels of punishment in hell. And if you reject it, you're still going to suffer for what has been revealed to you. But if you reject it, part of God's teaching in parables is to show mercy because he keeps you from understanding. And now you're not accountable for it. Go to Romans chapter 1. Hey, Becky, I didn't bring my clock up here. How are we doing time-wise? 10:51. We're going to make it. I told the people that we're renting the room from that when we say we'll be out of here, we'll be out of here. Romans chapter 1. Starting verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Stop. Now let's go back and read verse 16 and 17, which we all know. But you'll see why this makes even more sense now. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who what? Who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. You're going to wait until it makes sense to you? You'll never get there. You've got to get to a point where you just say, all right, Lord, you said it. I believe it. I know it looks stupid to the world. I know it looks childish to some, but you said it. I believe it. God says, you're in. You're in. Look at verse 20. He's revealed. He's made himself plain to everyone. His invisible, God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that everyone is without excuse. For although, listen to this, although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of immortal God, the immortal God, for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Did you catch that? He's revealed enough for them to believe. But they chose that even though they knew God, they chose not to respond to him in that way. Listen to John chapter 3. You all know John chapter 3, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He's a Pharisee, remember? And he makes this statement. Listen closely to what Nicodemus says. He says, we, talking of the Pharisees, we know you're from God. For no one could do the things you do unless God were with them. Did the Pharisees know that Jesus was from God? Did they all respond appropriately? But Nicodemus did. Why? Because he humbled himself and came to Jesus and said, teach me. And then Jesus explains it so simply. Unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus goes, oh yeah, I get it. No. Nicodemus goes, that doesn't make any sense. Have I got to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And then Jesus just says, what's born of flesh is flesh. What's born of spirit is spirit. What's born of... Listen, he still doesn't explain it. But if you watch Nicodemus, Nicodemus keeps searching for the truth. Jesus then plants a little seed and says, oh, by the way, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, and he'll draw all men to himself. And if you study Nicodemus, you'll see him still searching for the truth. But he was humble enough to say, I know this will make me look bad in front of my buddies. I know this will make me ridiculed. And they did ridicule him because he stood up for Jesus in one of their Sanhedrin meetings. And they jumped on him. Are you from Galilee too? But then by the end, I think Nicodemus came to faith at the cross while he's standing there watching Jesus being crucified. And what does Nicodemus do along with Joseph of Arimathea, who was also of the Sanhedrin? They went to Pilate and they said, we would like to have the body of Jesus. Do you understand what was going on right then? It was the Passover. It was the time to have your sins covered because the Day of Atonement is coming. The one day a year when all your sins were erased and you had to be clean. You had to be spotless. You had to be pure. And one of the laws of God was if you touch a dead body, you are unclean. And they went to Pilate and they said, we don't care about that anymore. He is our Passover lamb. And they touched a dead body and put him in a tomb, therefore making themselves ceremonially unclean, but they didn't care. Why? Because they had put their faith in the true Lamb of God. But that was a process. It was a journey. But it required Nicodemus humbling himself and breaking from the rest of the group that all knew the same thing to start with. But how did he get deeper truth? He kept seeking God. Did John the Baptist know who Jesus was? But was there a time in John the Baptist's life where he began to question whether or not Jesus was really who he was? Yeah, he said, are you the one? Wait a minute, John, you're the one that was telling everybody he's the one. But things were happening in his life that didn't make as much sense. And he had a question. But when Jesus wasn't doing things in his life the way he thought Jesus would or should, he doesn't go away. He sends word from prison to Jesus. Are you the one? Or should we look for another? Oh, and I love what happened there. If you look at that story, Jesus is teaching in front of a crowd of people. And John looks pretty wishy-washy now in front of that crowd of people when his disciples come and say, hey, Jesus, and they ask this question in front of all those people. John the Baptist wants to know if you're really the Messiah. And Jesus says, you go back and tell John everything's right on schedule. And he quotes Old Testament prophecy, and he's going to have to just believe the prophecies. The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, and the good news is being preached to the poor. But then he turns to the crowd, and he says, I'm paraphrasing, but he says, John the Baptist looked pretty wishy-washy to you, didn't he there? He goes, who'd you go out in the wilderness to see? Did you go out to see a reed swayed by the wind, someone wishy-washy? Or did you go out to see a prophet? You went out to see a prophet. And let me tell you something. Of men born of women, none has risen greater than John the Baptist. When John the Baptist said the lowest thing he ever said about Jesus, Jesus said the greatest thing he ever said about John. Why? Because John, in his struggle, in his question, went to Jesus. Go to Matthew 13. We'll close with the parable that launched all these questions. Look at verses 1 through 9. And then we're going to jump to verses 18 through 23. That same day, he just said, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my mother and my sister. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground and where they didn't have much soil. And immediately they sprung up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, how do we get ears to hear? We humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't understand this, but you'll explain it. I want to believe it. Help me understand this. Well, the disciples come to him, as we've already seen, and they say, how come you're talking in parables? And then they say, we don't understand it either. Look at verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. You've many times seen the story of the parable of the seed that fell on the hard path. And you assume they never got it. No, well, they didn't understand it, but it had been sown where? Even the seed that falls on the hard path is sown in their hearts. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 21. Receive the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Don't miss this, folks. Everybody hears. I didn't take the time because of our schedule and how much time we have left here this morning, but I could have taken you back to Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 16, where the Bible makes very clear that God is going to judge everyone's secrets through Jesus Christ. He said, if you've heard the law, you're going to be held accountable what the law showed you. But if you never heard of God's law, he already wrote his law in your heart, in your conscience. He's already shown you you're a lawbreaker, because even though you might not know God's law, he's written a law on your heart. He's given you a sense of right and wrong, and every one of us have gone against what we've sensed was right and wrong. And then he says that everyone will be judged through Jesus Christ. We need to keep sending missionaries, but don't think for a second there are people that have never heard. Everyone's heard in some measure, shape, or form. The gospel has been preached in all creations, Colossians 1:23. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus said when we get the gospel to the whole world, then the end will come. Read your Bibles. Jesus is talking about the tribulation period, and there's going to be an angel that hovers in midair and preaches the eternal gospel to the whole world all at the same time, and then the end comes. Romans chapter 10, verse 18. Did they not hear? Of course they did. His word has gone out into all the earth. So the seed that fell on the hard path, it was sown in their heart. They didn't understand it, and Satan came and took it away. Look at the next verse 20. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, and immediately he receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. In other words, here's someone that said they believed. Might even have got baptized. Might even have joined a church. But then God doesn't do things the way he or she thought he should. And instead of, like John the Baptist, going to Jesus, they go away. You've known them. I believed, but then my mama died, and therefore I don't believe anymore. I kind of thought he would do it this way. He didn't do it. I don't believe. The Bible says they never truly were saved. Go to the next one. Verse 22, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. By the way, how do we understand it? Because we're the smartest in the room? Because we humbled ourselves and said, I don't understand it, but you will give understanding. Help me. And then he opens your eyes and you believe. This person indeed bears fruit. Some cases 100-fold, another 60, another 30. Some of you, I hope none of you in this room, but maybe somebody that's watching right now on YouTube, listen to me. Some of you said you believe, but all of a sudden money became more important to you. God says, I want you to tithe. I want you to trust me. I want you to, and all of a sudden you said, nah, that doesn't make any sense. I can't, I need to have a bank account. I need to, and you're going to fall away. And it's going to be evidence that your salvation wasn't real. But then there's seed that falls on the good soil. And oh, by the way, the Bible says there's no good soil. Do you ever notice that? There's no one righteous, not even one. How does the soil become good? He's the one that has to till the soil. He's the one that prepares the heart. The seed goes out. But if you humble yourself and say, Lord, I want to believe, he prepares your heart to receive it. And when you do, even though he let your mama die, you ain't going anywhere else. Even though you've been tempted with money, you give it away because it's his. And you're more interested in the kingdom to come than this life. And some of you are going to produce 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Listen closely. I got good news for you. We'll deal with it more later in another parable of the talents. He's not expecting us all to do the same. Just live the life he's got for you and enjoy walking with Jesus. Now, this afternoon, we're going to take a look at the fact that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are the same thing. But the question is, what's the kingdom? Well, you're going to have to come back this afternoon for that. Father, thank you so much for this chance to come and allow you to teach us. Father, as we've just begun to wade into these things, may we all humble ourselves. We're all at different levels of where we are, either coming to know you or knowing you and being saved and sealed by your Spirit, but still growing in our walk with you. Lord, show us where we are. Father, may every single one of us humble ourselves enough to just say, Lord, show me where I'm at. If I don't know you, make that clear. I want to know you. I don't want to go to heaven or at least die thinking I'm going to heaven and not be right. Lord, show me my heart. Show me if I fully trusted you. Lord, at the same time, if there are those of us who do know you, and you're challenging us to a deeper level of following and faith, and that's a lot of the things we're going to look at in these parables. Lord, we want all that you have in mind for each of us. May we all humble ourselves and say, show us where we are. Thank you that you desire to reveal truth. Thank you that if we understand it, it's because you opened our eyes. And Lord, we'll even thank you for your mercy toward those who reject you. As we sang today, you're a good God. You're a really good God. We look forward to learning some more about you this afternoon. Thank you so much, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. I love you all. We'll see you this afternoon.